From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of message number 2 on the subject, What We Must Learn from How God Blessed Abraham. The text is found in chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, where the Apostle Paul uses Abraham to illustrate how God justifies sinners. Paul quotes from Genesis 15:6, where Moses wrote, Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. In other words, all men are justified in the same way Abraham was, by faith in Christ. The key to the passage is found in verse 24, which says, But for us also. Dr. Cairns has shown that the ground of our faith is the Holy Scriptures, and that the object of our faith is God who raised Christ from the dead. Continuing with this theme, we see that the content of our faith is Christ's death, His resurrection, and His Lordship. Contrary to much current teaching, it is impossible to receive Christ as Savior without accepting Him as Lord. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in 2 Kings chapter 25 and verse 30. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Jehoiakim was not sent away from the king's palace with a store to last him for months, but his provision was given him as a daily pension. Herein he well pictures the happy position of all the Lord's people. A daily portion is all that a man really wants. We do not need tomorrow's supplies. That day has not yet dawned, and its wants are as yet unborn. The thirst which we may suffer in the month of June does not need to be quenched in February, for we do not feel it yet. If we have enough for each day as the days arrive, we shall never know want. Sufficient for the day is all that we can enjoy. We cannot eat or drink or wear more than the day's supply of food and raiment. The surplus gives us the care of storing it, and the anxiety of watching against a thief. One staff aids a traveler, but a bundle of staves is a heavy burden. Enough is not only as good as a feast, but is all that the veriest glutton can truly enjoy. This is all that we should expect. A craving for more than this is ungrateful. When our Father does not give us more, we should be content with His daily allowance. Jehoiakim's case is ours. We have a sure portion, a portion given us of the King, a gracious portion, and a perpetual portion. Here is surely ground for thankfulness. Beloved Christian, in matters of grace you need a daily supply. You have no store of strength. Day by day must you seek help from above. It is a very sweet assurance that a daily portion is provided for you, in the Word, through the ministry. By meditation, in prayer, and waiting upon God, you shall receive renewed strength. In Jesus, all needful things are laid up for you. Then enjoy your continual allowance. Never go hungry, while the daily bread of grace is on the table of mercy.
Pastures waters fresh he makes me feed beside the living stream. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways, and leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace.
When I walk through the shades of death, thy presence is my stay.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free. at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
Preach again and again that I must, as a preacher, focus on the centrality and the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And I emphasize that. But in doing so, and I hope I have been careful to keep this throughout the years, if any of you are confused on it, now's the time to get it right. This is not some sort of Christological Unitarianism. Put that another way. I cannot preach Christ to the exclusion or to the detriment of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. I say the centrality of Christ because Christ is the Word. He's the Logos. He's the eternal, essential self-expression of the Father, the Word of the Father, the Revealer of the Father. It's in Christ that God has revealed Himself, but He's revealed Himself as a Holy Trinity. And therefore, justifying faith is a God-centered faith. Now, to be true and honest, we have also got to say that there's no saving faith in God the Father apart from His Son. And Paul makes that clear. There are people who say they believe in God, but they don't believe in the Lord Jesus. They don't believe in God. The God in whom they believe is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who saves sinners and justifies the ungodly. Those who say they believe in God, but do not believe in Jesus Christ, are enemies of the living and the true God, because faith in God must be channeled through Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, and the sole mediator. How did Abraham believe in God? Verse 17, back to there. He believed God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. We're not going to rehash that passage again. But remember that the object of Abraham's faith was the God who raises the dead. And that's the object of our faith. It is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who made Him to be sin for us, and then who raised Him again from the dead. It's the great object of faith. We trust in God through Jesus Christ, the mediator. The content of faith. Paul makes very clear here what the content of faith is. First, faith repudiates all self-righteousness, all merit and personal works. And it embraces three things. Now, there's a whole lot more in faith, but these are the three essentials that Paul deals with. And I will only skirt over them tonight, or around them. Number one, the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was delivered on account of our offenses. Faith believes in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. Paul's language here is deliberately couched to convey the meaning that Christ was offering Himself as a sacrifice of propitiation, a sacrifice to satisfy divine vengeance against our sin, a sacrifice to meet all the requirements of the law of God and bear all the consequent wrath of a sin-hating God, a sacrifice that would expiate our guilt, a sacrifice that would take our punishment, a sacrifice that would die our death. This is what Paul is saying. The Lord Jesus Christ was delivered on account of our sins. He is the sin-bearing substitute, the sin-bearing atoning victim of Calvary. And faith looks to the cross. You go right through the Bible, you'll find that the faith of God's elect is a faith in the precious blood of God's dear Lamb. The theology of redemption is always a theology of blood. All things by the law, how are they cleansed and sanctified? By blood. See the picture of Moses going through the tabernacle. And every so often he had to see this done. And he set up the ritual for the ages to follow. They had to take blood, touch the altar, touch the laver, touch everything in the holy place, and ultimately in the Day of Atonement bring the blood right into the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Everything was sanctified by precious blood. It is the blood, we are told, that maketh atonement for the soul. It is the blood that saves sinners from the wrath of God. It is, in God's word to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 12, as they awaited the arrival of the death angel going throughout the land of Egypt, it is when I see the blood that I will pass over you. And saving faith always trusts in the finished sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes its stand at Calvary and it rejoices in the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. That's where faith brings a sinner, to the blood. And that's good news, you know. The old hymn says, what can wash away my stain? Well, what can? Remember what Job said. If I wash myself with snow water. The ancients believed that the snow water would have some particular cleansing value. He said, well, if I do this, still I'm a sinner. That doesn't cleanse away my sin. People are still finding that. People get baptized to be saved. They find it doesn't deal with their sin. For baptism is not the washing away of the filth of the flesh. As I said when I was doing 1 Peter all those years ago, I don't think Paul was saying baptism's not like your weekly bath or your daily shower. It's not what he's saying. He said, baptism doesn't deal with the corruption of the flesh. Baptism does not wash away the pollution of the flesh. In Pauline and Petrine language, those are things, or those are descriptions of moral and spiritual wickedness. And baptism does not cleanse away the sins of the flesh. People try the snow water of many religious remedies, but what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Simple, old-fashioned, but biblical truth. And saving faith always comes to the cross. The good news there is for any sinner, whatever kind of sin, bring it to the cross. The best news you can give a sinner is the diagnosis is you're a sinner. Because that's the first qualification to becoming a saint. You cannot be saved until you realize you're a sinner. And when you're a sinner, you're instructed to bring your sin to the cross. But not only in the atoning death of Christ does faith rest. It rests in the bodily resurrection of Christ. He was raised again on account of our justification. He died to make an atonement for our sins. He rose again in order that we might be justified by the sovereign grace of God. As long as death reigned over Christ, it would reign over us. But death didn't reign over him and couldn't reign over him. As long as death could have held on to Christ, sin and condemnation would have held on to us. But death couldn't reign over him. Faith believes that God raised him from the dead. But then it all becomes very personal. There is a unique expression here. Him that raised up Jesus our Lord. Jesus our Lord. In other words, Paul is saying to us who are saved, this is not just doctrine. This is not just theory. This is not just something that we have learned off, nod our heads at the right places and look religious. He's saying Jesus is our Lord. You know, I must say, it confounds me utterly that there are people who profess to be Christians, and these great truths mean just about nothing to them. I've said it before from this pulpit, and I say it again. If you really understand what you're saying, if you really believe what you're saying, when you say, I believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if you really believe that, you can never be the same again. That's not a point of doctrine. It's not even a truth that you can say, well, it's true, so what? Once you realize that, that casts its light over everything else in all the world. You've got to look at everything else through those lenses. God raised Christ from the dead. And if God raised Christ from the dead, then the all-important thing for me to realize is this Christ is not just a figure of history. This Christ is not only the towering personage at the center of the written Word of God. This is my Lord. Jesus, my Lord. This is the content of faith, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You will remember a few years ago, John MacArthur got himself into all sorts of trouble with his dispensational brethren when he wrote the book, The Gospel According to Jesus. And he was looking at passages similar to the one that we looked at this morning, where the Lord Jesus says, unless these conditions are fulfilled, you cannot be my disciple. And this generated what is called the Lordship Salvation Controversy. Eminent professors from Dallas Theological Seminary went into print accusing him of works religion, adding to simple faith. To them, faith was simply a change of mind, did not necessarily include accepting the Lordship of Christ. Just to put it into words seems to make the thing so crazy, you wonder why it would take even a dimwit, never mind a seminary professor, it would take any time or difficulty for him to understand it. Can a man have faith in Jesus Christ while he is deliberately saying, I refuse him as my Lord? And yet around fundamental churches, there are people who have been told, you're saved because you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You're a carnal Christian because you haven't accepted him as your Lord. Man, I'm here to tell you, if you think you're saved by accepting Jesus as a Savior and a carnal Christian because you reject him as your Lord, you have never exercised saving faith. Saving faith says Jesus is our Lord. Oh, we must get this. This is too serious to play around with. This morning I reminded you of the Lord Jesus Christ's warning against presumption. This is the very thing that he was talking about. People presuming that they're saved. They redefine the way of salvation. They redefine faith. They redefine the object of faith. They redefine the entrance qualifications for heaven. Say we're saved. But it's God that sets those qualifications. The qualification for heaven is absolute, perfect, sinless, spotless, stainless, crimeless righteousness. That righteousness is to be found only in Him who died for our sins and who rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, Jesus our Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.